Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Herbie, let's go.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Previously on the Lawrence Holmes Show.
The quarterback is the most important position in sports, bar none.
They didn't get it right.
And then the thing that you're judged upon, wins and losses, we didn't get enough of those. But you know what? Integrity. They communicate well with each other. Bring them back.
He laid out the criteria for what a football team's supposed to do. Have a good quarterback and win football games. And he has told you that the guy in charge didn't do that. But you know what? We're going to keep him around. Man, is it funny and sad.
Have we gotten the quarterback situation completely right? No. Have we won enough games? No.
That concludes the portion for George and Ted. Thank you both for your time.
Make me a bicycle, clown.
So glad that you could hang out with us until 2 o'clock today here on The Score. My name is Lawrence Holmes, and I have got a show for you. We are going to spend a lot of time talking about still the Bears, like still digesting what happened and how sad people are. Like, Bears fans are sad about everything that they heard yesterday. An important programming note, George McCaskey is going to be on The Score today at 3:30 with Parkins and Grody. So update your calendar for today so that you're listening at 3:30, because it should be good. We know that Parkins isn't going to pull any punches, and I would be shocked if Grody does either. They did not have a good day yesterday. Not Parkins and Grody. I think both those guys independently probably had great days, but the Bears did not have a great day yesterday. And there need to be, I think that it's not a, sometimes when we put a guest on after like a big press conference, a lot of times you're like, I wish that the collective group of media would have asked this question or this question or this question, or you feel like you might have a different way to try and get to the answer. I don't think that was the case yesterday. I thought that the Bears group did a bang-up job of staying on points and trying to get to the bottom of some of these answers. I expect that the afternoon show is going to do a lot of that too, and you are going to get, maybe it'll be different because it'll be like a two-on-one situation. Maybe it'll be a more relaxed George instead of kind of taking fire from everywhere. We'll see, but 3:30 today on The Score. Coming up on this show, Jack Silverstein is going to join me. He did a thread on Twitter. He's, to me, Chicago's like foremost sports historian. And he did a thread comparing the Bears, the Packers, and the Lions over the last quarter century. The comparison is not great for the Bears. Jason Leisure, who covers the Bears, is going to join me at 1 o'clock. I'm looking forward to our weekly visit with him. We were hoping that it would be less Bearsy. Not today. I'm going to let Mr. Leisure have his opportunity to say some stuff that he would like to say. Mark Gonzalez is going to join me at 1240. I'll talk about his career, talk with him about the Cubs and what happens next, and what's it like to leave the Trib after as many years as he spent there. But coming up in the next segment, I texted Jason Goff and I was like, yo, man, you should come on today. I'd like to hear some of your thoughts on the Bears. And he was like, I'm with it. So Goff is going to join me to talk about that. We'll talk about Kyrie Irving and James Harden and NBA foolishness. That is coming up directly here on The Score.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
Ryan and Matt are our football guys. I've heard it often that Ted meddles in football affairs, and that notion is just absurd. It just doesn't happen. He's the president and CEO. Ryan reports to Ted, but the idea that Ted or I meddle in football decisions just isn't true.
Sounds like Jason Goff's theme music. It is, because I wanted to talk with him about the Bears and all the goings on that happened in the NBA. He joins me on the Albemarle Nissan hotline. Albemarle Nissan has some great cars for you out in Melrose Park, or you can just check them all out at apnissan.com. Hey, Jay.
What's up, dude? How you doing?
I'm doing really well. How about yourself?
Man, I am fantastic. Well, you know, I'm good, but I'm worried, right? Which is the sense of I guess everybody these days. Today is the 4 years ago today we brought Jace home after being in the NICU for 29 days. So the entire morning, I woke up really, really early this morning, like 4:30, 4:45, and the entire day I've been thinking about, like, after work and after we do these interviews and the pods and all that other stuff, how I'm going to hang out with my guys. So today is a good day, even though there's weirdness happening in our industry.
Yes, it's celebratory, man. Like, that's a great thing, man, to celebrate for sure. You can check Jay out on NBC Sports Chicago, doing pre and post, and checking out all the podcasts that they do over there under the guise of our guy, Tony Damn It Gill. There's some fabulous content that they are putting out there, and there's some NBA stuff that I do want to talk with Jay about. But first, as someone who has spent a lot of time dissecting Bears football as a fan, as a member of the media, what did you take away from yesterday?
I mean, it's just more of the same in your relationship with the Bears as a Bears fan. There are very few teams in this city who can get away with what the Bears have been able to get away with. And it's as simple as that, right? 1985 is a long time ago, right? And we don't really talk about it the way we used to, but it's still always omnipresent. And the fact that, you know, Alex Brown and Olin Krutz and Lance Briggs are guys who we can look at who are now grown older. These guys are having kids who are athletes. You know what I'm saying? It's good to see these guys grow older, but that's the last time we had a taste of some kind of Super Bowl glory. I'm sorry, man. When we talk about these charter franchises around the NFL, Let's take a look at their fates since 1985 or since 2005, 2006, right? I mean, the Giants trying to figure that thing out, but they had Eli Manning in the interim. The Pittsburgh Steelers have gone through a bunch of quarterbacks. They found Ben Roethlisberger in the draft, and we've seen what the Steelers have been able to do. You can just look at any of the franchises that are hallowed and respected around this league, and then you look at the Bears. And I'm sorry, man. 7-9, 8-8 has been our fate as fans for a couple of decades. Yeah, there's some outliers. There's some winning seasons. But in the end, that's what we clamor for. And I feel like Bears fans should reexamine their relationship with this team and this organization. And not just say it, right? Because the problem is when – I'll never forget George McCaskey mentioning that when he walked through the South End parking lot, he didn't hear those things when it came to the criticism a couple of years back. Problem is – a lot of these organizations feel like they're only talking to the people who are never going to leave you or doubt you or consume you. We hear from other sides, right? So if you're in that echo chamber, if you're in that environment that will let you know I'm here with you forever no matter what, then you can do stuff like they did yesterday. I didn't catch a second of that press conference. I listened to you as soon as it was over because that's all I needed to hear. In the end, if franchises know that you're going to be okay with it, know that you're going to gripe and bitch and moan for maybe a year, 2 years until they give you another tidbit. Let's face it, man, Jay Cutler is the greatest or the most talented quarterback that this team has ever had. And what did that land you? I don't know. In this season of, you know, making it to the finish line during a pandemic and COVID and all this other stuff, like I am reassessing relationships internally, professionally, all those things. And I feel the same way about the investment in the teams that I root for. These last couple of years were my first chance to be a homer-like, you know what I mean? Go hard, not having to be captain objective all the time. Because, you know, unfortunately, we have to prove that far too often in our business when people know your work. But this is my last 2 years of like, yo, I'm here. I'm watching Bears games on Sunday. My son is coming of age where he understands that this is something his dad enjoys. Hopefully he enjoys it. I remember watching the coaches show with Johnny Morris and Mike Ditka with my dad. So these last couple of years, all I've seen is more of the same, covering it from the outside looking in. This is the vibes don't change, right? So the people have to change. And the question I would have for Bears fans is, what are you willing to do?
I think that your point about George in the South lots is a really pertinent one, Jay. It's yes, people are going to be excited to see one of the guys that owns the Bears like in the lots.
100%.
And they're not going to be rude. You know what I mean? Like they're George is out there. They're not going to be like, George, you're a POS. Like they're not going to do that to him.
And because, that's not necessary either.
Because and he's genuinely like a nice guy. So people are not just going to rip into him when he walks up on the tailgate. But if they were paying attention to not just what happens on the score, I look every week, Jay, every week when the Bears put out, you know, their game day Instagram. All you got to do is go inside the comments in their own Instagram, go inside the comments of their own Twitter feed to see where fan bases are. And yeah, they're the people that are never, ever going to question the Bears and how dare anyone do it and are going to be with them forever. There's a lot more of people saying, hey, why y'all up on Instagram smiling? Y'all have lost five in a row. You know, like, why is everyone styling and profiling? Why don't you guys get some wins? Like, these are things that I don't know if they reach the highest levels of the organization. I'm sure the person who's in charge of social media for the Bears knows exactly what I'm talking about and sees it on a daily to weekly basis. But maybe that type of feedback doesn't get back to them, because if it did, it strikes me as completely tone deaf what they tried to sell the people and those people yesterday in their press conference.
But I always get back to the conversation that I usually get back to in any relationship. What you gonna do about it? Right? Like if you are a Bears fan and you're listening to this press conference yesterday, by the way, I would love to have those guys as bosses. Because yesterday was a go get them, big fella. You know, after 3 years of, you know, let's keep it funky. The Bears halfway through last season, and I charted it, and well, this season, and I charted it, and I stepped away from it, and it astounded me. halfway through 8 weeks through this COVID season that we just watched of NFL football, there were eight teams in the NFL that were averaging 31 points or more per game. You paid Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace to make sure that you were in that quarter of teams in the NFL. It did not happen. It has not happened in a sustainable manner. When the play calling duties get handed over and all of a sudden you get back to that 30, like, I don't know what else we have to really look at here. Like, the overthinking of this thing is remarkable. And on top of it, you know, there have been coaches who haven't been able to slide. There have been since Lovie Smith got fired, I've been watching how this team has handled the coaching situation and say whatever you want to say about it, because I'm willing to listen to everything. But since Lovie Smith got fired, the precedent really isn't win or else. Right? The Mark Trestman thing, he lost that locker room, flat out. But the whole Matt Nagy is going to change the culture, he's going to change the environment, he ran the T formation, all that is cool, man. But once things get rough, once the adversity hits you, then what? And all we've seen, and I don't blame Matt Nagy, because guess what? Matt Nagy is being Matt Nagy, right? So if everybody's being themselves and the results are substandard, then you need new everybody's. It's as simple as and I listen, as a person who has been fired twice, I know what it is for someone to tell you you didn't do a good enough job or we have to go another route. It is heartbreaking. It is a loss that you and your family are consumed by, but it's the business that we're in, and you move on. Matt Nagy has friends around the NFL that I don't think he would be unemployed long. And I'm not calling for the firing of Matt Nagy, but when you come out the way you came out yesterday and say the things that you said yesterday, I don't – and think about this season too, L. If I'm a player, I really look at that as, okay, the coach got another year. So am I really – when it gets tough again, when you're 6-7 or you're 5-8, am I all about busting my ass again for a coach that might not be here and a GM that might not be here? Like, the uncertainty that you layer your organization with when you in layman's terms, I won't say reward, but you
justify,
okay,
yeah,
with mediocrity. Yeah, you're okay with mediocrity. Like, I knew how I felt as soon as that Packers game was done. I knew how I felt. And then when I watched the parts of the Saints game while trying to do the Bulls game with Kendall, I knew how I felt then. It's the same way I felt in the 90s when we got a couple of good years. It's the same way I felt in the aughts when we got a couple of good years. Ain't nothing gonna change. My bad.
Ain't nothing changed.
I get used to podding and being all serious, and I, you know, the mouth gets a little spicy, so I apologize.
No, I think that that's great, because I think that it encapsulates the way that Bears fans feel. And to me, Jay, and we're talking with Jason Goff, NBC Sports Chicago. Check him out doing Bulls pre and post and halftime, and check out all the great podcasts and follow him on Twitter at Jason1Goff. You should be doing that anyway. The benchmarks are pretty simple. Yeah, don't catch one. From Jay. Don't catch a fade from Jay on Twitter.
Nah, we ain't handing out no fades anymore. I mean, we're 40 years old and up now. We let the garbage in the head of the garbage.
That's true. That's a good point. But the point you made about, like, it should be easier. It should be easier. Like, you brought this guy in here with the idea that he was either going to fix your quarterback or fix your quarterbacking situation. Neither one of those things happened. On top of that, another benchmark for him is that your offense was supposed to improve, and your offense got worse. And then it's win games. Well, he did that in the first year, but wasn't able to sustain even close to that level of victory. And now it seems like the field goal posts have been moved, where it's like, oh, well, he's really great at keeping everything together. And the Bears talk about culture. But as Olin said, and all of us have pointed out, you had two dudes get rooked by the same guy in the same way in a season. Like, that, you can't talk to me about how great your culture is and how great your building is when you had two guys get kicked out of a game, one guy gets suspended for 2 weeks because they couldn't handle the chirping that went on from a defensive player. Like, how does that not strike a chord that maybe your culture isn't right? When your quarterback, when the guy who says nothing, Jay, the guy who says absolutely nothing, finally sacks up and is like, you know, there's some things here culture-wise that probably need to change. When all of those things are in front of you, how do you then say, you know what, it's him, it's Wims, it's Miller, it's Mitch, and not look at it and say it might be Trubisky, it might be Nagy, and it might be Pace that are a big part of why this keeps happening?
Because there's no accountability. Where's the accountability? You can't tell me, listen, if Jace gets in trouble, and I don't want to infantilize anybody or make anybody seem like I'm talking about, you know, raising kids or anything, but when Jace gets in trouble, we got to nip that in the bud. We got to talk to him immediately and say, hey, why'd you do this? What happened here? How can we react better next time this happens? Man, all I need to see is Mitchell Trubisky, Matt Glennon, and Nick Foles. That's all I need to see. All right, you dismissed. All right, now you, Matt Nagy. What happened with the offense? What happened with, okay, we didn't get you a quarterback? All right, we went out and signed a backup that you wanted, that you thought would run your offense to the T. All right, if it's the offensive line, okay, Ryan Pace. At what point when Charles Leno and Bobby Massey were getting, you know, were above average players a couple of years ago, at what point did you think that their growth would be optimal or premium enough that you wouldn't have issues on the offensive line? And then the offensive line got hurt and their running game got better.
Right. So they lucked into a run game with some new chess pieces. That wasn't the offensive line that they had constructed. That was the offensive line that was put together with duct tape, smoke, and mirrors. And it ended up being better than what they had projected coming into the season.
Lawrence, I want to know, too, if I was asking questions of anybody up top, when was this decision made? That these guys are coming back, because these are the same people who decided that it was time's up for Mark Trestman, time's up for 10-6 Lovie Smith. At what point in the season? Because losing six games and then not falling off the table is not the reason why you bring people back. I'm sorry, bro. Like, losing six games is why people get fired. All right. When you lose close to half your games in an NFL season in a row, that's when people get let go. No ifs, ands, or buts. And when people get let go because of that, they understand, right? Because we definitely, if Matt Nagy and Ryan Pace would have been let go, we definitely would have been hearing the thanks to the Bears organization. We had an opportunity. We didn't fulfill our goals, but I wish them luck in the future. It was a great opportunity working with that organization. Dudes understand when they get their ass launched for not getting the results. I just don't understand which results were viewed, gleaned, felt, ascertained by this organization that this is okay. Other than my initial point, what you going to do? What you going to do? Ain't no AFC team. What you going to do? This is the only team in this city that unites every single fan base. It's Cubs fans that ain't Sox fans. It's Blackhawks fans that ain't Bulls fans, and vice versa. Every single person in this city, in Chicagoland, Chicago proper, whatever you want to call it, I mean, outside of a few. I'm not going to say every single person, but the majority and the vast majority all pledge allegiance to this franchise, and they understand it. So what you going to do? Sit out a year in NFL football? These are your Sundays. We cancel everything for that day. What you going to do about it? So that's what it is. Shut up. Enjoy your 7-9. We'll see you the next year.
It's the truth. Before I let you go, what the hell is going on in the NBA, and why is James Harden a net?
Man, James Harden is a net because the NBA, listen, man, the content creator, it's the greatest league in the world. And I know people have been bristling about it. I know people don't want to accept it. That's on you. It's the greatest league in the world. The content creation, the storylines, the action, the drama at the end for the final, like the seven-game series in the NBA Finals has become a thing. And the way it's consumed on social media. Like, people talk about television ratings. Cool. Which league do you think is getting the most downloads, clicks, consumption, whatever, transmissions, whatever you want to call it? The NBA. So that being said, it's because they share power with these players. It's the league that people can relate to the most, because the players are kind of in ownership with the owners. They're in partnership, I should say. So when that happens, you get a guy like James Harden, who for 8 years, I mean, let's not make what we think about James Harden kind of cloud our judgment on the kind of player he is either. This is a dude who has an MVP to his name, who came in second and should have won that one as well. This is a top 10 player in the league. He's still a premier player. He landed in Brooklyn because his time was up in Houston, and he didn't want to waste it anymore, and he chose a poor way to do it. Don't get me wrong. But now he goes to the circus that is Brooklyn, where you got to go, who's going to be the third option and all this other stuff. Man, I can't wait to watch it no matter what, because it's going to be theater. It's going to be like L.A. was the show. Brooklyn is the show right now, no matter how you feel about it, with Kyrie, with Kevin, with DeAndre Jordan, if they buy out Andre Drummond, whatever the case may be. There's a lot of things going on right now, and all eyes are on the Brooklyn Nets. And I'm appreciative of it because, hell, there are a lot of dudes who are better consumed on other people's favorite teams. Jim Harden is one of them, dog. So I can't wait to see it.
Jay, I like this Bulls team. Am I crazy to like this Bulls team?
Nah. Knock it off, man. We've been in too many bad relationships, and then we get in the good one. We still trying to fix the last one, man. Love that new relationship, bro. Now, I've been impressed in certain pockets, but you also understand why they're losing some of these. I mean, they've lost half their games by 4 points or less, right? So you don't get medals to losing, but the way things are developing, I'm a big fan of it. Man, my favorite part of the game, well, there's three things that I enjoy every day when we do these games. It's talking to KG and Will. It's watching Pat Williams play, because y'all already know, and I was the first to say it, and everybody out here who's clowning, talking about this baby Kawhi, you understand when you heard it first, all right? And thirdly, man, I love listening to Billy Donovan talk about basketball. You know why? Because he puts the screws to dudes in very nice terms, right? I mean, the very first game, he said the opportunity is not going to meet you, all right? So all this stuff that you've been doing here the last couple of years, boiling ain't here no more. What you got? Unfortunately, this team has been hit with the health and safety protocol with the NBA and a couple of positive COVID tests. And, of course, you got what's happening around the rest of the league. This is four straight days where games have been postponed, man. So the reacclimation period for Lowry and Tomas and Chandler, I think, is going to be tough. And I think it's going to rock the boat a little bit, because if you notice, Thad Young has played well without Lowry Markkanen being out there. And I think that was very evident last year when Thad was like, I need to play more minutes. And the only person he was going to be playing for was Lowry. So I enjoy watching him, man. I think Zach LaVine is putting himself in a nice position to either play for a contender or be here for the building of a contender. But I'm enjoying it. And speaking of the Bulls, I'm getting a chance to sit down with Mark Eversley at 2 p.m. today. We're taping something for Black History Month piece that we're doing on NBC Sports Chicago. So looking forward to talking to him about that, being only the second Black general manager in the third market in the country. You know, this is going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to it. But yeah, man, the Bulls stuff has been it's been a fun ride. I won't even front, man. Like, I know everybody thinks you're either bashing a team or you're waving pom poms. I've had an enjoyable experience, much more so than last year.
Me too. I've really, really enjoyed it. I'm staying up even watching them late night West Coast games, man. It's still a lot of fun because they're in them until
some entertaining games.
The last minute, no doubt about it. Jay, I appreciate the time. Good luck on your interview with Mark Eversley, man. I'm sure that's going to be fantastic.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Y'all be cool, man. I see Herbie and Tanny in the background on my Gerch. What's up, baby? Like, all my guys over there. I check you guys out as much as I possibly can, which is three or four times a week. But you've been doing a hell of a job with the show, my man. Continued success.
Thank you. I appreciate that. That is Jason Goff. He is the best. Watch him on NBC Sports Chicago. Check out the podcast. That Bulls podcast that they do is a must listen. It is an absolute must listen. There's breaking news inside of baseball, and how timely is it that we got Mark Gonzalez coming on the show? By the way, breaking news on The Score is brought to you by Mercedes-Benz Vans. Find out how far an extra mile really goes. Theo Epstein has a new job in baseball, like in baseball. I'll talk with Gonzo about that next here on The Score.
Lawrence Holmes, noon to 2 on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, a radio.com sports station.
There's a new gig in place for Theo Epstein. We need to talk about it. Like, that wasn't really the goal. That wasn't the reason that we were even talking with Gonzo. But it fits perfectly into what it is that he does. Mark Gonzalez for years and years has covered baseball in Chicago on both sides of town for the Chicago Tribune. That era has ended, and he's getting ready to start a new era. He joins me on the Al Pamani Nissan Hotline. Al Pamani Nissan in Melrose Park has a bunch of great cars for you to look at, whether you're talking new cars or used cars. Just check them out at apnissan.com. Hey, Gonzo, how are you?
I'm fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thanks for joining me. I wasn't expecting this to be kind of an informational conversation between us today, but what do you think of the new job that Theo Epstein has in the commissioner's office?
I think it's terrific. You know, he has said within last year the need for changes in baseball, and he's a guy that always thinks outside the box and is always looking for that next step, what's best for the team, what's best for the game. And so there's no shortage of ideas that come out of his head, and he's a visionary. And I think given the state of baseball where it's at right now, and especially with an ugly labor situation looming, at least he can bring some freshness to the sport.
It kind of felt like when he did his farewell press conference that we were looking at a guy that wasn't quite done with baseball, but was maybe done with the day-to-day of running a baseball team in a rebuild for sure with the Cubs. I keep hearing from people two things. Either Theo becomes the commissioner or Theo ends up owning a team at some point. Which direction do you think he probably heads?
I think this might be the foot in the water to see how much he likes things from a New York standpoint. When I say New York, you know, everything's headquartered there, so maybe he gets his foot wet there. I don't think Rob Manfred would have brought him on had he not felt comfortable with him. But let's face it, you know, baseball's I won't say it a crisis right now, but there are some tense moments, especially we got going on with the pandemic, first of all, and then wondering when we're going to start spring training and then how many games are going to play. And then we got the CBA, which expires in early December. So there are a lot of things on the front burner, but I think Theo is a guy that's respected by the Players Association as well as his ownership throughout baseball. So if there happens to be a change, I think he could fit in seamlessly.
Mark Gonzalez joining me here on The Score. What made you say that now was the time for you to take the buyout at the Trib?
Well, a lot of things that have gone on the last 20 months for me haven't been easy from a family standpoint specifically, but there's some other things too. You know, I understand what Len Casper was thinking about when he said he wanted to make the switch from TV broadcasting to radio. I'm not saying I'm going to go into that arena, but there's some things that sometimes you wonder, do you want to accomplish at some point? And let's face it, the landscape has changed too, unfortunately, with the pandemic and how coverage has changed and all that. I won't say that frustrated the heck out of me, but it did play in the back of my mind, you know, and then with the labor potential stoppage as well. I went through that in 94, 95 early in my baseball coverage career, and that was a little taxing. So, you know, we'll see what happens. I don't have anything percolating right now, but I'm open to a lot of things. I'm casting a wide net.
Well, that's good. I know that it's been difficult for a lot of people, like creatively, that are attached to the Tribune, like the way that it's been run over the last few years. And we, like, there's just a list of like big names that decided that they're going to at this point walk away. Has the frustration with how media, capital M, has shrunk and been kind of truncated, did that play a role in you saying, yeah, maybe I want to try something that's different than what I've been doing?
Well, I've been thinking about different things for 2 years and not necessarily related to the things you mentioned. You know, we lost some huge names, much, much, much bigger than me. I mean, we lost some institutions over there with, you know, Blair came and Phil Vitale, the name too, and quite a few others that have been there much, much longer than me. And they can speak for themselves why they left. But, you know, things are changing, and sometimes change is good. You know, we see things more, you know, toward the podcast, the video stuff than we did 10 years ago. And that's just addressing the reader or the listener's needs. So I was on board with that. I didn't mind doing the podcast when we had one, or tweeting and all that. I mean, it's part of what people want, and you got to give them what they want. It's a competitive market out there, and you know, dollars only go so far. So everybody's trying to capture the lion's share of that.
Being that you've covered both of these teams for a really long time, what are some of your favorite moments from covering both the White Sox and the Cubs?
Well, I can't tell you how well I was treated when I came from Arizona to the Chicago covering the White Sox. The beat writers there were terrific. I mean, there was a lot of competition, but for a first-year guy, and in fact, switching leagues as well, the first time I covered the American League, the guys were there with open arms. And it's kind of funny because I knew Kenny Williams. I covered his last high school football game. I don't know if you knew that. And so we joke about that at times. And one of my best friends from high school played Triple A Las Vegas with Ozzie Guillen. So I knew all about Ozzie and his talents and all that. So it was a real seamless transition. And then for them to win the World Series that first year, that was something I did not take for granted, because 4 years early, I was lucky enough to cover the Diamondbacks when they won the World Series. And I think I really didn't soak it in from a journalistic standpoint as far as what it meant, because it was an expansion team that was only their fourth year of existence. And still, there's a lot of historical value to that, especially when you beat the Yankees in Game 7. So those things kind of stand out, as well as the Cubs. And, you know, I moved over to the Cubs in the middle of 2013 when they were, I think, just climbing out of their all-time depth. And Paul Sullivan couldn't have been any more accommodating in helping me transition over there to the Cub beat. And, you know, you saw the ascent with the young guys and all that. To me, you know, 2015, Joe Maddon's first year, kind of in some ways was funner. And I say that not just because of him, but you see where the building blocks were going. And, you know, they ran out of gas at the end of the Mets, but you could see where things were starting to crystallize and things were going to fall into place. And then the offseason, when they made all those moves, getting Lackey and Zobrist and Hayward, and then other guys coming up, Wilson Contreras, it kind of, you really saw this puzzle coming together.
With it, when it comes to the Cubs in particular, how hard is this undertaking that Jed's doing right now with them?
It's huge. It might be massive. And I say that because of what the franchise has accomplished and all the great expectations they have, but have fallen short. And now they're in a position where, let's face it, they got to rebuild because of the situation where their star players are contractually, and the void in the farm system. I mean, they have some players that are just not ready yet. So you combine all those things, and then they're in a division that's kind of feeble. So, you know, you can say, oh, they have a chance to win it, but, you know, the standards are high here, and, you know, they don't aspire to be average. So I see some tough sledding for a couple of years, and then maybe they get things going to where they can get back to among the elite in the National League, but it's not going to be easy by any means.
Are you going to do any college football stuff, Gonzo? Because I know how much you love it. Are you going to do anything with that?
I don't know, but I have been telling people I'm casting a wide net, and I've talked to a couple of people that give me some good suggestions. So we'll see what happens.
I really appreciate the way that you've helped me out in making me feel comfortable when I come to the ballpark, and the love that you gave this show, like when we had Joe Maddon on or we had Rossi on, and I knew that you were listening because you were trying to figure out what they were going to be talking about that day. But I appreciate like just hanging out by the batting cage with you and in the clubhouse and being able to lean on your expertise on how to cover baseball. It was a real bright spot for me, and I'll miss it.
Well, I appreciate that, because I remember, you know, starting out and just feeling like, you know, I was really wet behind the ears. In fact, I did a book review on a guy who wrote a book on the A's during the Billy Martin years, and he reached out to say, hey, thanks, your review was fair. And I said, by the way, the first baseball game I ever covered was in 1982 when Billy Martin tore up his office. I covered the game the next day, and you could smell the fresh paint. So that's how far I go back. But I remember that was very intimidating to cover your first game, and Billy Martin's the manager. So I know how it sometimes it can go. I mean, for somebody who's not out there a lot, I'm not saying you're overmatched because you've done a great job doing your homework. But for a lot of people, I can relate because I was there at one time.
Gonzo, good luck with the next chapter. And if there's anything that we can do as a show or I can do personally, please don't hesitate to ask.
Hey, everybody at the station's been great to me, probably nicer than they should have been, but I want to thank everybody there, from the producers to the on-air talent.
Well, we thank you for always being available for us. Good luck, sir.
Thank you.
That is Mark Gonzalez. He always called me young man. I'm not a young man anymore. One of the really, really good dudes in our industry. I'm sorry to see him go, but I'm looking forward to what he does next. We need to take a break. Jason Leisure was all over the Bears press conference yesterday. He's got thoughts, and he's going to share them next on The Score.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.